Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a civic media station.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. California Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order intended to help Los Angeles rebuild faster from the deadly wildfires. His order waives certain reconstruction requirements. It also extends a law against price gouging. But the fire danger far from over, says L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney.
We know that elevated critical fire weather conditions will continue through Wednesday.
Fires are blamed for at least 16 deaths in the region, but crews have made progress on the Eaton fire. It's now 27% contained. President-elect Donald Trump takes the oath of office in 8 days. He has warned Israel or Hamas to release all hostages by the time he's sworn in. Israeli sources expressing optimism about ongoing talks in Doha, the U.S. involved in the talks. Trump's incoming Middle East representative and envoy is there, as is President Biden taking part. This is ABC News. As expected, the man who led two investigations into then former President Donald Trump has resigned his position.
The Justice Department saying in a filing that Special Counsel Jack Smith resigned Friday after submitting his final report to Attorney General Merrick Garland. Smith had been overseeing investigations into Donald Trump's role in both the January 6th Capitol attack and the classified documents retained by Trump after he left the White House. Smith saying in 2023,
we have one set of laws in this country and they apply to everyone.
But after Trump won the November election, the Justice Department dropping cases against Trump as per policy of not prosecuting a sitting president. Dave Packer, ABC News.
The winter storm across the South forced the cancellation of events around the inauguration of North Carolina's new governor. But in his speech, Josh Stein said Saturday he would work with the Republican-controlled General Assembly, and it would also help cut through red tape to help people rebuild quicker after Hurricane Helene. I'm Brian Clark, ABC News.
Do you hear that? Asthma triggers are everywhere, from dust mites, pet dander, and pollen, to smog and smoke. An asthma attack can strike anywhere, anytime. Be prepared with quick-acting Primatene Mist. Clinically proven to open airways quickly. It's the number one FDA-approved asthma inhaler available over-the-counter. Primatene Mist. Breathe easy again. Use as directed.
This message is sponsored by WiskCaregiver.com. Now is the time to start a meaningful career as a caregiver. Make a real difference in people's lives. WiskCaregiver.com gives you two great options for free. Train for the in-demand caregiver workforce as a CDCP, Certified Direct Care Professional, or become a CNA, Certified Nurse Aide. All training is free. Plus, you can earn a $500 bonus. Learn more. Visit WiskCaregiver.com.
I'm Lisa Hale with WISS News. Your news roundup in quick podcast form. You can find it anytime at the WISS website at WISS.FM.
For Civic Media News, I'm Savannah Tomei Olson. A Wisconsin cranberry farmer is on a mission to restore wetlands by building what he calls mock beaver dams. Judith Ruiz Branch reports.
Jim Hoffman says he got his interest in beaver dam analogs after helping a Nordic skiing buddy release an orphaned beaver on his property with a constructed lodge and a stuffed teddy bear for company.
And we dropped the beaver in it. The first thing he did is swim right down the culvert and started swimming around the pond. Unfortunately, that was the last we saw of the beaver named Broadus.
Mock beaver dams, as Hoffman calls them, can pool more than 500,000 gallons of water during floods. He says he hopes to mimic the natural features of beaver dams, including enhancing wildlife habitat, stabilizing eroded stream banks, and improving water quality. Wisconsin, like the rest of the country, has lost about half of its wetlands since the late 1700s, due in part to declining beaver populations. Hoffman explains beavers are regarded as a nuisance animal that regulators believe harm trout. State departments have gone so far as to contract with the federal government to wipe them out.
Conservation trout stamp dollars should not be used to blow up beaver dams. It should be used to encourage water quality projects such as what we're working on right now.
Few mock dam projects like these exist in the state. Wisconsin has strict regulations that make permitting expensive. Hoffman has spent $20,000 in the past year alone for his own permit. He hopes to work with the state's Department of Natural Resources to create a new permit that would allow other Wisconsin homeowners to build their own dams. For Wisconsin News Connection, I'm Judith Ruiz Branch. This story was produced with original reporting from Bennett Goldstein for Wisconsin Watch.
And this is Civic Media News. I'm Savannah Tomei Olson.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No likely for today accumulations an inch or less. High temperatures in the lower 30s. A west breeze gusting to nearly 25 in the afternoon. Overnight skies turning partly cloudy as our lows drop to the lower single digits. Wind chills near 15 below. It's 30 at our studios.
Jane Matinair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, Donald Trump says he's going to drill, baby drill, when he gets into office. Matt Randolph, Mr. Global, explains what that means for us. And we go beyond the cheese in hour number two. Don't miss it.
Matinair on air, weekday mornings at 10.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Todd Allball Show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Welcome to New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Our cover story this weekend focuses on how farming for honey has been going on for thousands of years, but one local farmer is bringing modern technology into the hive. We have stories for you on Congress extending the farm bill, which is good news, but not the best news, the stress farmers face and how to navigate it, and the 78th Allison Dairyland. Speaking of dairy, Brittany Merlot has a great story for us on cheese. Pete Schwaba has our classic cinema pick of the week, and our Amanda Nimmer informs us of a very real danger to humans that's lurking on dairy and beef farms all across Wisconsin. And then the Gentlemen Grifters are our musical guests at the end of the show. But first, we're going to open up this issue of New Wisco Weekend and dig into our first story, which is a little about sports, a little about farming, and a little about entertainment. Here's Conrad Krieger.
Sunday, January 5th, actor Craig T. Nelson sang the national anthem in front of 88,000 Packer fans at Lambeau Field before the Bears and Packers kicked off. Craig is not known for his singing in his career, but more for his roles such as Coach Hayden Fox in the hit show Coach. So why did Craig sing the national anthem? Well, he has a new role that may interest northeastern Wisconsin. Green and Gold, a movie based in Wisconsin and stars Nelson as the lead. The synopsis on the website says,
foreclosure looms over Wisconsin dairy farmer Buck, played by Craig T. Nelson. With mounting debt and the land his family has cultivated for four generations at risk, Buck refuses to give up his legacy without a fight. Buck's granddaughter, played by Madison Lawler, works alongside him, but dreams of a career in music. Her aspirations are fanned by an emerging friendship with a famous musician, but chasing her dreams might take her far from the farm. With time running out, Buck places a daring bet on his beloved Green Bay Packers winning the championship, risking it all to save everything he holds dear.
This ain't your land.
Well, when you don't pay your loan, it becomes my land.
How much do we owe the bank?
I will make a little wager with you. Packo all the way, I will give you another year interest-free. And if they lose, you sign everything over to me.
Take it.
Nelson shares that Green and Gold is more than just a role for him.
It was meaningful to me just from the standpoint of being able to represent that lifestyle and what who they are, who my ancestors are.
The movie is directed by brothers Anders and David Linwall, who say the film highlights the stories of hardworking farmers confronting growing challenges in today's economy. In an interview on Fox 11, Anders says this about Green and Gold.
You know, I think it really came from our grandfather was a dairy farmer, and we grew up as lifelong Packers fans. But what we really wanted to do was make a story that brought hope and was about the folks that we grew up around and just inspired people with goodness. So,
Green and Gold hits theaters nationwide January 31st of this year. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Conrad Krieger.
Old MacDonald had a farm, E-I-E-I-O. And on that farm he had some chicks, E-I-E-I-O. With a cluck cluck here, a cluck cluck there, loud as they could be. And when those chicks got out of line, chicken fricassee. With
a it cluck, started cluck as here, a beauty pageant following World War II, but now is a position that is used as the voice of agriculture for Wisconsin. Melissa Kay reports.
The next Alice in Dairyland will begin in July, and the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection is already looking for the next candidate. The 77th Alice in Dairyland, Haley Heinzel, said she's excited to work with the top candidates applying for the position.
We are opening applications for the 78th Alice in Dairyland, and so I'm really excited to be seeing who is interested in becoming Alice in Dairyland next year.
The position requires extensive travel throughout the state while promoting Wisconsin's agriculture industry and its impact on the state economy. Alice in Dairyland is not only about sharing the stories of agriculturists, but also inspiring the next generation to continue the legacy. Applications are now being accepted for the position of the 78th Alice in Dairyland and must be received by 4:30 p.m. on January 31st. You can find out more at aliceindairyland.com.
And I can promise you, those animals ever get out of line, we'll have a mulligan stew. So how about you?
You're listening to New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
In 2024, the United States was home to 87.1 million cattle, and about 3.5 million of those cows reside in Wisconsin. New Wisco Weekend commentator Amanda Nimmer thinks that is a dangerous statistic.
You know what this is. Everybody knows what this is. This means a shark has been spotted. So it's time to get out of the water. And with many thanks to the 1975 cinematic masterpiece that is Jaws by the one and only Steven Spielberg, this irrational fear of sharks lingers, even when you lived in a landlocked state, like we do here in Wisconsin, especially in this Northeast division where it's just farm country wherever you look. Who hasn't played the classic game of spotting cows? There's a cow. There's a cow. There's a cow. And now it's ingrained in your brain every time you see a cow to be like, there's a cow. Or if you're like me, go, moo moos! I think mine's more fun, but you can also simply say, hey, a cow. Cows are everywhere. And quite frankly, you should be more afraid of them. Because did you know that cows kill more people than sharks? It's true. A study done in 2019 says there have been approximately 5 deaths caused by sharks annually. Meanwhile, horses kill about 20 people a year, and cows, 22. 22 deaths annually from cows. It's still a low number, but if you do the math, that's 4 times more than sharks. And I know this almost firsthand because my sister was attacked by a cow. I shouldn't be laughing because this was a very serious matter. This cow stalked her when she was working in the milking farm. For days, it stalked her. They had to go look back on security cameras in order to see that it was legitimately sussing her out like prey. And then it waited until just the right moment to charge her and headbutt her into a pole. It could have killed her. But instead, she suffered with a couple fractured ribs and a very messed up back for quite some time. And that cow left its job at the dairy farm because it wasn't its first offense and moved into the non-vegetarian district. So am I trying to make you more afraid of cows than you really should be? No, I'm just giving you the facts. Cows kill more than sharks. Who would have thunk it? But cows are still fun. They're still sweethearts. In fact, some people describe them as big dogs because of their playful behavior and their ability to frolic when they're let out of the barn for the winter onto the grass. We've all seen the video. We've all awed at it. Don't you lie to me. You know what? Just ask my sister, because I bet you she doesn't even hate cows after being attacked by one.
A lot of times people get hurt by cows because cows are big puppies and they don't know like how big they are. So if they get excited to see you, next thing you know, you have a 1,500-pound animal barreling towards you just to say hi like a puppy would.
And if you go up the list, crocodiles gobble up 1,000 people a year. And I'm pretty sure that's just mostly Floridians they're eating. I should know. For some reason, my fiancé decided to wrestle one. I honestly don't know. I guess it's like a Floridian thing, which might be why the numbers are so high. But even they aren't at the top of the list. The living being that you should be afraid of, that isn't human,
Let that sink in for a moment. Or mosquitoes. Mosquitoes kill hundreds of thousands more people than sharks, cows, crocodiles ever do. Besides maybe the deer that people tend to hit on the highway. So say it with me. Mosquitoes suck and cows are adorable puppy-like creatures that you don't turn your back on.
And also, California just shouldn't have cows, and they're not happier. We take good care of our cows. They all have names, and they're all treated very, very nicely.
Exactly. Happy cows come from Wisconsin. From New Wisco Weekend, I'm Amanda Nimmer, and there you go.
This weekend features National Milk Day, a time to celebrate because Wisconsin would not be known as the cheese capital of the world without it. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot explains that cheese is not made from spoiled milk.
It's a common misconception that cheese is made from milk that's gone bad, when in reality, the process of cheese making is curdling fresh milk and then allowing it to ferment and age. And temperatures simply can't be too hot because warm weather cheesemaking is tricky. First of all, high humidity and heat can lead to increased risk for contamination. Bacteria and yeasts love a warm and humid environment. It feeds and ferments the lactose into lactic acid. And once that happens, the good bacteria is out. What follows is other opportunistic bacteria and yeasts overtaking the cheese. So producers can't doodle in the barn and must limit time between udder and cheese pot and never let milk sit out for more than 30 minutes. However, cheeses that are salted early in the process, like cheddar or feta, well, they tend to work better than the rest in those higher temperatures. Mold simply grows really fast. Though not necessarily dangerous, it surely doesn't taste good. So when eating cheese, it's best enjoyed at room temperature, typically about 67 to 70 degrees. So if you want to enjoy a summer cheese board outdoors, keep it inside until right before you dig in. Cheese that's warmed up too much or starts to sweat, the fat is separating from the solids in the cheese, and it looks like little droplets of moisture on the surface. The flavor and texture may be quite off. So what you can do is serve cheese on a marble slab. Not only will it look good, but it'll naturally cool your precious cheeses too. Okay, so this may sound cheesy, but did you know that one Wisconsin county is using a cheese byproduct to treat slick winter roads? Greene County has been using cheese brine to pre-wet roads before putting down salt treatments for about 20 years now. The Wisconsin Department of Transportation Highway Commissioner says it activates the salt quicker. WisDOT gets the brine from local cheese factories. They also say that the brine is helping Greene County be more eco-friendly when treating the roads, saying that they need less salt afterwards. And they are now the second least user of salt in the entire state of Wisconsin, typically using more than 100,000 gallons of cheese brine to treat the roads. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot.
Plowing these fields in the hot summer sun. Over by the gate, Lordy, here she comes with a basket full of chicken and a big cold jug of sweet tea.
You can check out all the episodes of New Wisco Weekend at civicmedia.us and also find them on Spotify and wherever you get your podcasts. This is New Wisco Weekend on WGBW and WISS.
She ain't a fool in me. She thinks my tractor's sexy. It really turns her on.
When we come back, ag stress, the farm bill, and a classic movie pick, plus our cover story on A-Frame Acres. This is New Wisco Weekend.
She likes the way it's pulling while we're tilling up the land. She's even kind of crazy about my farmer's tan. She's the only...
A new choice. The Fox Valley's real news and great conversation. WISS.
At Lakeland Care, we are passionate about creating a world we all want to live in. Lakeland Care supports frail elders and adults with disabilities through Wisconsin's Family Care Program. As a Lakeland Care member, you'll benefit from a dedicated care team that assists you in managing your health and daily activities. Our personalized support aims to improve your quality of life and help you maintain your independence. To find out if you qualify, contact your county's Aging and Disability Resource Center. To learn more about Lakeland Care, visit lakelandcareinc.com. Lakeland Care. Together, we build better lives.
Let's get back to live music in the lair with Kaylin Cole. The next song you have for us tonight is called 1103. Yes. Is that a time or a flight number?
Oh, that's actually really good. That's a good idea. I think I might have to write another song with that.
You'll get 50%. It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at MaxIncRadio.com and listen live on Saturday nights, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Valley's home for Nightlight with Peach Schwabba.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend on Civic Media radio stations WGBW and WISS. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Coming up, the current farm bill was extended by Congress recently, but a new bill is needed. Then, ag businesses have unique stressors they have to mitigate. Right now, Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
New Wisco Weekend presents Pete Schwabba's classic movie pick of the week.
Are you in the mood for a good remake? One of my favorites is this week's classic pick. The film Heaven Can Wait is a descendant of the stage play Here Comes Mr. Jordan, which eventually made it to the silver screen in 1941. 1978's Heaven Can Wait stars Hollywood legend Warren Beatty, who plays Joe Pendleton, a quarterback for the LA Rams, who is about to play in his first Super Bowl. While riding his bike to rehab his knee, Pendleton collides with an oncoming car in a tunnel, or so we think. An overly eager escort from Heaven, played by Buck Henry, pulls Pendleton's soul out of his body early to spare him the physical pain. The film is a hilarious adventure as the escort, with the help of his boss, Mr. Jordan, played by the perfectly cast James Mason, tries to find a body for Pendleton's soul, eventually settling on heartless millionaire Leo Farnsworth, who is poisoned by his wife Julia, played by Diane Cannon, and her lover, Farnsworth's assistant, Tony Abbott, played by Charles Grodin. The two are hilarious as they can't figure out why Farnsworth is so hard to take out.
You locked me in a closet.
Only for a moment.
What did you say to him?
I told him you saw a mouse.
Oh, my God.
But darling, look, I'm not very good at spur-of-the-moment alibis. I'm very calm. I'm not very good.
What's the difference? He knows anyway. He's probably got enough evidence to lock us away for the rest of our lives.
Darling, I don't understand this. I saw him inhale the nose spray. Two full squirts in each nostril.
He never really inhaled it, did he? He overheard it somehow. That must have been what had happened. I mean, maybe he's got us bugged right now. Maybe everything is recorded.
No, why, darling. Not? We're not being recorded. An electronics expert sweeps the place every day. He's afraid of being bugged too, darling.
He's playing with us. That's what it is. This is a game. Oh, my God. He's playing a game with us. That's what it is. You locked me in a closet. What?
Hello.
Mr. Farnsworth would like to see you now.
Yes, indeed. Yes. Would you excuse me, Mrs. Farnsworth?
Yes, of course, Mr. Abbott.
In an effort to keep his dream of playing quarterback in the Super Bowl alive, Beatty's character, now in the body of the rich Farnsworth, buys the Rams. Further complicating the plot is that Farnsworth falls in love with Betty Logan, an activist protesting one of Farnsworth's business ventures, played by Julie Christie. The film is an interesting enough story that is well acted and hilarious at times, thanks to the comedy chops of Henry, Grodin, Cannon, and Jack Warden, who plays a football coach. The film was co-directed by Beatty and Buck Henry, and co-written by Beatty and heavy hitter writer Elaine May. The collaboration of all these talented folks nabbed 9 Oscar nominations and 1 win for art direction. Heaven Can Wait is the perfect film as the NFL playoffs get underway, or if you need a laugh or like a good love story. And it's this week's classic movie pick of the week. For more movie and entertainment talk, join me weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. for Nightlight here on WISS and WGBW. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Pete Schwabba.
Scarecrow on a wooden cross, blackbird in the barn. 400 empty acres that used to be my farm. Grew up like my daddy did, my grandpa cleared this land. When I was 5, I walked the fence while grandpa held my hand. Rain on the scarecrow, blood on the plow. This land for the nation, this land made me proud. Son, I'm just sorry there's no legacy for you now. Rain on the scarecrow.
Managing stress is a challenge for anyone today, and it's especially challenging for farmers when so many things are out of their control. But with the right support and resources, it's possible to navigate these pressures and reduce stress. Civic Media's Joanne Krulatz has the story.
Navigating your ag business from stress to success is an online course sponsored by UW-Madison Division of Extension's Farm Management Program and the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection's Farm Center. Joy Kirkpatrick is a UW-Madison Division of Extension Farm Management Outreach Specialist.
The idea is that, you know, farmers have all kinds of things that can be stressors, and they can be different for each farm. So this program really helps farmers think about what their unique stressors might be in the moment and help them put together a plan that can help them address that stress. So, you know, one person might feel like they need to have a better handle on their financial management. Another person might be looking at a diversified enterprise, like a value-added enterprise that they might want to consider bringing into the mix of things. So it's really, while we work together and do some of our work online as a group, it still is designed so that the plan that the farmers design is specific to their situation.
By participating in this program, farmers can build a more resilient and sustainable future for their businesses and their families.
They get to define their success, right? We, from the outside, don't define what they feel like. We want them to define their own idea of what success is for them. And hopefully, with them working through that plan, it does reduce their stress and get them going. We've had people who have put together their loan documents and received a loan. We had one farm that was able to submit a grant application and receive that grant for a project that they wanted to do. Now, we have had farms that, going through it, they kind of realized that they have a lot of things that they need to address that they didn't even really think about and wasn't on the radar. So sometimes working with farms, they realize that they have several things they need to work on. So maybe it doesn't necessarily alleviate their stress completely, but it does give them more information to know how to start addressing some of those things that their awareness has grown about what they need to address.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Joanne Krulotz.
For more information about the online course, go to go.wisc.edu/NYAB. Passed an extension of the Farm Bill, which was a relief for many farmers. But that means they're working with benefits and prices that were negotiated 6 years ago. On top of that, President-elect Donald Trump has promised to cut government costs across the board, add potential tariffs to the equation, and experts are worried about the agriculture industry. Paul Mitchell, agriculture and economics professor at UW-Madison.
So my real worry is that agriculture will be collateral damage for the new administration as they pursue other political priorities where, you know, agriculture is not their number one priority. And they will take the cost of agricultural hurt to address these issues they want to address that would partly help them get elected.
One of the major problems with extending the old farm bill is now farmers will continue to get benefits from a law that was negotiated over 5 years ago, and the crop reference prices are outdated.
Prices have been declining on the corn and soybeans, and the processes used to create this support in these times of thin negative margins, they're out of date. Those floors were set in 2018, and you know, we've gone through a lot of inflation, and so you know, $1,000 isn't what it used to be.
Mitchell says farm organizations have been asking Congress to increase crop reference prices and to change the process to make it more relevant to current commodity markets. Old prices aren't the only problem with extending the current farm bill. Mitchell also says crop insurance and conservation programs are at risk. Plus, the Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, or SNAP, is still offering benefits too low to help those who need them. That's according to the Urban Institute report. For New Wisco Weekend, I'm Lisa Hale. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, our cover story on modern technology in the ancient practice of beekeeping. But first, this weekend sees National Milk Day on January 11th. National Milk Day celebrates the very first time milk was delivered to homes inside of sterilized glass bottles back in 1878. Before then, milk storage and delivery was less than sanitary.
From Oshkosh to Nina, this is 98.3 WISS.
ABC News, I'm Brian Clark.
California Governor Gavin Newsom signed an executive order intended to help Los Angeles rebuild faster from the deadly wildfires. His order waives certain reconstruction requirements. It also extends a law against price gouging. But the fire danger, far from over, says L.A. County Fire Chief Anthony Maroney.
We know that elevated critical fire weather conditions will continue through Wednesday.
Fires are blamed for at least 16 deaths in the region, but crews have made progress on the Eaton fire. It's now 27% contained. President-elect Donald Trump takes the oath of office in 8 days. He has warned Hamas to release all hostages by the time he's sworn in. Israeli sources expressing optimism about ongoing talks in Doha. The U.S. involved in the talks. Trump's incoming Middle East representative and envoy is there, as is President Biden taking part. This is ABC News.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
The Bucks are in the Garden. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. NBA, the Bucks are in New York today to take on the Knicks in Madison Square Garden. We'll have a full recap after the game tonight. Milwaukee with a 109-106 win Friday night over the Magic. How much better are the Bucks this year now? Running Doc Rivers' offense, Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Way, way better. Every game that goes by, our chemistry is getting better and better and better. Like, we know each other's parts. We know how to play with one another. We know what one another wants to accomplish. As well, they have the ball or when they're playing off the ball, and it's something that we do. Like, there's going to be a lot of times you're going to see this game, the next 50 games, you're going to be a lot of times that it's just going to be a two-man game. It has to be that way, especially in the last 5 minutes. But that necessarily means that we are going to take the shots. If you have great shooters and guys that they're very capable of making shots, sometimes they're going to be over there.
That's the Bucks, Giannis Antetokounmpo. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
You can always continue the conversation on social media. Share your thoughts when you find and follow Civic Media on Facebook, X, and Instagram.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. No likely for today accumulations an inch or less. High temperatures in the lower 30s. A west breeze gusting to nearly 25 in the afternoon. Overnight skies turning partly cloudy as our lows drop to the lower single digits. Wind chills near 15 below. It's 30 at our studios.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Former New York Governor Andrew Cuomo signed automatic voter registration into law in December of 2020 to begin in January of 2023. Pandemic, technical, and bidding delays ensued, but preparation for voter registration at the DMV and other state agencies has finally begun. The New York State Board of Elections approved a resolution in December 2024 authorizing the state's Department of Motor Vehicles and other state agencies to create voter registration forms and transmit that data to the Board of Elections database. The new system allows citizens to opt out of voter registration, but will otherwise register or change registration information during official transactions. Gotham Gazette reports that both the implementation of automatic voter registration, or AVR, and online voter registration, or OVR, were delayed as technical staff was diverted for pandemic-related IT projects. While the delays are frustrating, getting it right is critical. Early adopter Oregon recently discovered flaws in its very successful AVR system, with evidence that ineligible citizens and non-citizens were accidentally registered during state transactions. The state is in the process of a system-wide audit. Brennan Center for Justice finds AVR has increased voter registrations from 9% to 94% in jurisdictions around the country. We have more on AVR at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. I'm Brian Beal.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show, weekdays noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the author of Building the Bucks, Jordan Tresky, and talk entertainment with Capital Times reporter Victoria Davis. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend, and I'm your host, Lisa Hale. This issue of New Wisco Weekend is all about agriculture, one form of agriculture that's been around for decades but is getting more attention now is beekeeping. Wayne Stiegelman from A-Frame Acres is a beekeeper who appears regularly on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor. During a recent show, he talked about how technology will save the bees.
What are the bees doing now? Because everybody asks, like, oh, what are the bees doing now? Well, honeybees are the only bee that overwinters as a colony. So, quote, they're a superorganism. So you're like your semi-social bees, like bumblebees, the mated queen will overwinter in a hole or a grass or a twig or something like that, the wasps and so forth. So what they're basically, when they're overwintering, you're trying to keep a bug, you know, alive when it's 0 degrees out. So basically what happens is the worker bees are clustered around the queen, keeping her warm and everything. So to back up, to get them ready for winter, that's the whole game. So
so what do the wasps do then? Do they go siloed?
Yeah, the wasps and the bumblebees, they just kind of go into this hibernation state where they just basically, I think they go into almost like a freeze state, and then when it warms back up,
Well, that's like you'd see them, like even on dandelions when I was growing up, you know, you used to catch them in little peanut butter jars, whatever. But when it was like cold, they were almost like dormant. They didn't move, but they didn't die, yeah, right?
They go into what's called a state of torpor.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like their metabolism slows way down. And then you can literally, like, if they have, like, honeybees, sometimes when it's cold, they'll get stuck on the landing board and they freeze. So you can pick them up and you can blow on them. And then they'll actually wake up. They get all excited.
That can happen.
After you blow hot air on them. So anyway, wow. so the bees actually have to stay, you know, semi-dormant. What they do is they go into this state of low metabolic state where they're clustered around the queen and everything. So the job of the beekeeper, you know, since we're pulling them out of the trees, it's our job. We're putting them in these boxes. We have to, and we're stealing their honey. You know, we people forget, like, this is a product of them trying to survive.
Okay.
So we're taking their food. This is what's in the hive. This is the honeycomb.
Right.
So their whole job throughout the entire year is to stock honey for the upcoming winter that's coming.
Ah.
So they have. And then you have us beekeepers coming and taking that honey.
How many times did you get bit this season?
Oh, every day.
How many times do you think?
50? Thousands.
Thousands.
No, I'd say hundreds.
Wow.
Yeah, I don't. Well, see, so I don't wear bee protective suits.
Right. No, I've seen
but
pictures.
I do. I'll tell you, there's, when you see people on TV, and they call them the bee whisper. Right. There's no such thing as a bee whisper. If the bees want you out of their colony, they're going to get you out. Don't get me wrong. So, but if you get to know your bees, you can tell the time of the day, like the temperature, the weather, the time of the year, if there's a nectar flow coming in, because they'll basically ignore you if you respect being in their colony. Nice, move nice and slow. So I can generally harvest my honey without wearing anything. There's bees all around. I love doing that because it gets reaction from people. It's like it's like COVID. Like, you need to put protective gear on.
So do they make honey all winter too then?
No.
But you literally spent all night last night watching videos on bees.
Yeah, you know, that's a problem, you know, with bees.
Yeah,
you know
how most
guys are like, my wife's like, what did you do now? Well, I signed up for this thing where I'm watching bees for 2 hours every night for the next two weeks.
Right, but let's tell people why you're watching bee videos for 2 hours a night.
I'm helping mankind.
Well, you're going to be certified as a something, right, when you watch this? You're going to take a test or something?
No. So this is how this is why I'm watching bee TV. So my way of beekeeping is using technology. So I always tell people, I don't force it on people, but I try to. So my thing is, you know, just like anything, there's, you know, like politics, you have blip, blip. In beekeeping, you have these two groups of I'm going to treat, I'm not going to treat, I'm going to insulate, I'm not going to insulate, Bob, because this is the theory that's been passed down.
Right.
And the information hasn't changed in 100 years. It's the same thing. So a lot of my things that I do is I watch the dairy farmers and I incorporate it, which is great. So there's a company in Stoughton, Wisconsin called Broodminder, and they're two super duper smart guys. They're engineers, and they've recruited beekeepers from around the world, and so anyway, it's not anything crazy, but they've designed technology to be able to monitor temperature and humidity in the hives.
Ah.
Here's my beehive right here. So it's wrapped in insulation. So normally if you look at it, like, well, how, if I asked you, well, hey, how are your bees doing? Well, I checked them 2 months ago and I think they're doing okay. Yeah. It's like, they don't know. Cause you're trying to take care of something that's behind a curtain. You have zero idea what they're doing. So what technology does with monitoring temperature tells you a lot with bees. So in this hive, there's all these little sensors, and underneath, this is a scale. It weighs it. And so that cell phone is pinging all these sensors, and then the cell phone sends that up to the cloud, and then it comes, you know, on my app in the phone.
Do you have that internal workings, the thermometer, on every hive?
Every hive. I've basically dedicated my beekeeping to technology. And I honestly think technology is going to save the bees. Because you can't change your methods without knowing the data and knowing what's happening in the hive. Everyone's reactive instead of proactive. And I always tell people, I am not an expert beekeeper by any means. You know, I've been beekeeping now. This is going to be my sixth year. But what the thing is in beekeeping, like a lot of things, it's when you're teaching beekeeping, it's a lot of passed down information.
Right,
so you have, grandpa beekeep, you know, my dad beekeep, blah, blah, blah. And this is what you do at this time of the year. Well, we can't do that anymore because the climate's changing. And if what you're doing, is that really what they need? You don't know. So I tell people my work history is sales and marketing and business. And we all know that you can't do that successfully without knowing the data in front of you.
You're ahead of the curve on technology, right?
Yeah. So what I'm saying is I'm not the expert, but this is what my bees are brooding right now. No, your bees don't brood in the winter. Yeah, they do.
Right. It shows you right here.
This line right here is what you typically see in the summer. And they're brooding. Like, really? And like, so now my question is, well, why are they brooding? So then you can go through the charts, and then I keep track of everything, when I fed, how much I fed, when I treated, and then I can kind of put the timeline together.
So if I was going to get into beekeeping, do you take this and share it with people who've got an interest?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, there's some older beekeepers in a club that were really like, you're making beekeeping not what it's supposed to be, you know, and everything. But they're actually now it's like they're actually paying attention, because I'll say, hey, what happens during this event? And then what I'll do is like, okay, I'll monitor that and I'll come back. This is what happens with the temperature. This is what happens with the humidity. Like, everyone's like, you got to have 80 to 100 pounds in your hive of honey for them to survive. It's like, no, you could get away with 60, because I'm tracking that.
You know? I would think that after your meetings, those older guys who've been traditional with this probably go, that Wayne kid might be onto something. Because I think, well, you've got a lot of data little sheet.
And that's what Broodminder, these two engineers, is, because we can't really, because again, you have two different groups, because you have non-treat, because again, right, the mites, this is the killer of the bees,
right,
is mites. So just like COVID, you either have to treat or you have to have natural selection take its course. Well, we can't let natural selection take its course, even though, yes,
they'll
win, and that's ultimately the way out. But you can't tell a bee farmer that, hey, you know what, let all your bees die.
Right.
So there has to be an in-between.
These bees, this is much more than Brown County or the Greater Green Bay and Winnebago County. I mean, you've got Outagamie in here now. Yeah. So
awesome. Yeah. So anyway, to make a long story short, the reason why I'm watching BTV is because we have the technology to look inside the hive. Like, this is an infrared camera, so I can walk up to the hive and I can see where the cluster's at. But what we're trying to solve is what's truly killing the bees are these little demon mites. And the only way we can tell if our hives are infested right now is to go in and test and kill a bunch of bees to shake the mites off. Well, I'm helping to teach AI to identify mites in the hive with a camera that would probably be the size of the sensor. And then eventually, once the AI can catch on, and I can tell already when I watch these videos, this hive probably died because it's infested with mites and viruses. But then it will send it, because right now with everything that I'm doing, there's no instructions. All I see is there's a change and I need to go in there and see what's going on.
What's the chemo for the mites? Like, what are you going to do when this technology says, yeah, it's infested. Yep.
So right now, that's the thing. You have two different groups. You have treatment groups and non-treatment groups. So treating is there's synthetic miticides and organic miticides that will kill the mites, but not the bees.
Right.
And then you have your non-treaters, which don't get me wrong, that's probably the way out of this, that they're trying to breed queens and to have worker bees that have hygienic properties. Like they can actually, they'll go off, and I can see it in the hives because bees will groom each other. And like with these mites, what they're trying to do is have bees that will actually go around and like pull the mites off or bite the ankles off these mites to get them out of the hive. And so now you have mite resistant bee strains, but that's going to take forever, you know? And in the meantime, you can't have bee farmers collapsing. So then that's where the treatments come in. So however you're going to take care of the mites, that's what I'm not here to talk about, because that's a whole nother issue, is that broodminder will say, hey, beekeeper, your mite levels are getting high. You better do something about it.
That's awesome. So how do people learn? I think you're going to find people interested in everybody, you know, New Year's resolution. I want to learn this. I want to learn that. But if somebody wants to kind of lean into bees a little bit more, where are you teaching?
Yeah, actually. So I'm part of the Brown County Beekeepers Association, and we hold a class every January. So this year it's January 18th, and the class is at the NWTC Great Lakes Energy Center.
Yeah,
so nice. There's three parts to it. So when you go to our website, browncountybeekeepers.com, and it's on your sheet.
Okay.
And or you can just go to our Facebook page, Brown County Beekeepers, and then you can sign up right there for the class. And we have three segments. When you sign up, you'll get a video sent to you to learn about the biology of the bees, because we want you to have a basic knowledge, because right now is when you need to. If you're going to get into beekeeping this next couple coming year, this is when you have to start. So then we have in class, which is about 4 or 5 hour day at NWTC. And then we teach like all different. There's bunch of us, like I'll teach how to overwinter.
They want to get into bees.
Yep.
And their goal is to get honey, right?
Right.
So is this class needed for that?
Oh, absolutely. Because you can't get honey unless you have a strong, healthy hive. Because what dictates how much honey you get is how many foragers you have. And how many foragers you have dictates by the strength of your queen. So pretty much your entire hive relies on the quality of your queen. Although the worker bees dictate how that quality is. If they don't think she's quality, they'll kill her and make another queen.
Wow.
Yeah. And that's
there's a lot of history to that.
Yeah. And that's another thing. I can see that event happening in my colonies, because I can see the temperature spikes, and I mark my queens. I go in there and I'll paint them green based upon the year, or red. So then when I go in and I say, hey, I think something's going on, they requeened her, and I'll go in, I'll say, yep, there's a queen without any markings on it.
What makes the soldiers turn on the queen?
So the hive is held together. The queen puts out a pheromone, and the strength of that pheromone is related to the health of that queen.
I see.
So when that pheromone starts to dissipate, then they're like, hey, we need to, you know.
I smell a change in the air.
Yep. Yep.
Wow.
And then they'll start developing, making their own queens. But right now they can't do that because, you know, they're locked in a hive.
Right.
So when you get to say October, whatever you did for them, that's it. You know, there's no, and right. That's our climate. That's the hard part in Wisconsin and the UP and any cold climate is once October hits, it's done. So if your bees are sick, they're going to die.
That's Wayne Stiegelman from A-Frame Acres. You can check out Mino and the Mayor every weekday morning from 6 until 9 on WISS and WGBW. Coming up on New Wisco Weekend, a three-man group of gentlemen with a talent for making fun music that spans genres. This is New Wisco Weekend on WISS and WGBW.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, home for the Maggie Dawn Show.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, the Fox Valley's home of Mino and the Mayor.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
This is New Wisco Weekend. I'm Lisa Hale, your host. Every week, we like to close the show with music. The Gentlemen Grifters are a Wisconsin-based band that twists bluegrass, western, folk, ragtime, and hard rock into unique and fun music. Take a listen.
I was out a fishing on a dark, stormy night. I ventured out too far from land and couldn't see the light. My mates were gone for far too long. I spiraled towards the floor. The mist broke clear and I found my way back to Hacker Shore. Mermaid approached in the haze and offered me her hand. She said that she'd give me safe passage back onto dry land. The clouds of thin, she played a trick upon my weary eyes. At the time I thought I had in hand a mighty prize. Well, I've been out to sea on many other nights, but the waves had never been quite as bad as tonight. I held on to the rudder as I lay upon the floor. I never should have set a foot upon that Hacker Shore. Back into her den so we could rest a bit. Now worried for my safety as the seated foam is bit. Against my better judgment, I said I'd stay for one more.
The Gentlemen Grifters were guests on Civic Media's Mino and the Mayor show recently. Here's a little bit of their interview.
All right, my name is Mike Goodwin. Not really a leader here. We kind of all do our parts. We all do singing. We all do instruments. So yeah, we've been doing this for a few years. We started around the pandemic, kind of doing things over the internet, passing back and forth before we could really get together in person and not infect everybody.
Well, I like the fact, like we said, this is the most unique, different, not unique, but tell us about the different instruments you have in your trio.
Yeah, well, I've got, we call this a guitar. You don't see these too often.
Back to you, Bob.
Slow down a little bit. John Minor.
All right, wow, here we go.
Over here we got a mandolin, and then we have a violin, a fiddle, I have no idea, some four-stringed instrument.
Oh, and a fiddle.
Yeah.
And violin for, that's a cool instrument. Are you in the high school choir course? What'd you do?
Yeah.
No, I played in heavy metal bands when I was a kid.
Yeah, look at this guy.
And, are you serious?
He could be in the Marines.
Yeah, I'm serious.
You're the most clean cut kid I've ever had in here. Look at these guys. No, if he said it.
This dude.
Yeah, he was in like Death Punch or something.
Yeah, all of them.
He was the choir kid, actually.
Really? Wow. Okay, you guys hide it well. All right. How'd you get into this
And I think that's cool that you play a violin.
I tried a lot of different instruments, and they kept shrinking. I started with drums, and then it went to piano and guitar, and I'm finally down to a fiddle. Maybe I'll get down to a harmonica or something that's even smaller at some point, but I think I'll stick with fiddle.
You can just do what I do, is just do vocals.
Well, that's the thing, Dennis.
When you get to my point, that you're not even a musician anymore, so careful.
But you're a big advocate for people trying different things in music.
Oh, absolutely. Like it's great for you know, from a learning standpoint. And
well, these guys are so talented. They can pick up an instrument in 2 weeks. They're like a
pro. Well, wait till you hear us.
How about you, choir boy?
So my name's Chris Lalonde.
Hi, Chris.
Yeah, I picked up mandolin about a decade ago, about 10 years. I actually worked with the guitarist for Burnt Toast and Jam.
Yes. We had him in here, haven't we?
Not yet.
No? Okay. Well, yeah, I worked with him back in the day at a fiberglass shop, and I didn't even know what a mandolin was until I worked at that fiberglass shop. But I started on bass. I taught myself bass when I was 12 and then guitar when I was 14.
How does that translate to the mandolin?
So this is actually tuned just like a fiddle or an upside-down bass. And actually one of my buddies was like, oh, yeah, it's tuned just like an upside-down bass. And I just stared at it for like a good solid hour flipping all those scales around in my head.
Man, yeah. That's scrambled eggs to me. Can you imagine that?
Wow. Learning it backwards. Sort
pretty
of like,
cool.
Right? That's amazing.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and I thought about it like an upside-down bass for about a month.
Then what happened?
Then it turned into a mandolin.
Okay. That's the spirit.
Yeah. And shout out to Andrew Madsen. He's a luthier down in Neenah. He made this beautiful instrument.
Wow. Andrew is awesome. We got to get him in, too.
Oh, he made that?
Yeah.
All right, you guys. What kind of music do you play? Like, what would be your genre?
Bluegrass primarily, but we kind of
beautiful
dabble in a lot of different things.
All right. Don't you have a big festival in Marquette, like by Ordockers? A big bluegrass thing in the summers?
They're too big for that.
That's... Are you? Oh, okay.
I thought you said, don't use guys.
But bluegrass, bluegrass like, is big in the UP, isn't it?
They got a blues festival up
there. Blues festival. Yes. Yeah.
That's huge.
Yes, it's very big. Yeah. So let's hear a little something.
All right.
Take
your times.
Tell us about what it is that you're going
to
play.
The Gentlemen Grifters.
All right, here's a song that's, I guess this is bluegrass, but it's very ragtime inspired.
I love it.
Okay.
That's the best.
Tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again. Think it's time to shake these blues. Put down your phone and turn off the news. Get yourself a pair of dancing shoes. Let this little song be your excuse. So tell the bartender, tell the queen, tell everybody in between. Shout it out from the tops of the trees. Good times are here again. Come on, Chris.
Thank you so much for being a part of New Wisco Weekend, your look at the stories and issues facing Northeast Wisconsin. This issue of New Wisco Weekend is written, produced, and directed by Lisa Hale. Our executive producer is Todd Michaels, with features from Conrad Krieger, Brittany Merlot, Melissa Kay, Joanne Krulatz, and Pete Schwaba. Our commentator is Amanda Nimmer. And we had special appearances this week by John Mino, Jim Schmidt, and Dennis Peters. If you have a story you'd like to hear us cover, please feel free to email us anytime, lisa.hale@civicmedia.us. I'm Civic Media Northeast Wisconsin Bureau Chief Lisa Hale for WISS and WGBW News. Be unstoppable.
Welcome to the Fox Valley's Real News and Great Conversation, WISS.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything.
Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Enjoying this local program?
Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
This is WISS Berlin-Oshkosh and WZBU New Holstein-Appleton, the Fox Valley's real news and great conversation, a Civic Media station.
ABC News, I'm Dave Packer. So many stories in Southern California of those who lost their homes as the wildfires rage. Marcela Buenelos, 24 years old, tried to save her grandmother's house in Altadena. And while doing that, her own home burned down.
I was about to make 2 years that I moved out my parents. And I took a lot of pride in that. And I was very happy there.
ABC's Matt Rivers is in Brentwood.
With fires still raging in Los Angeles, evacuations are expanding. The Brentwood and Encino neighborhoods under threat as residents make their way out of the area.
It's very difficult, but we're alive.
The death toll at least 16. The fate of TikTok in the U.S. likely to be decided this week. No action by the Supreme Court or no U.S. buyer would mean the app would be blocked on January 19th. Dozens were injured when two trams collided in France Saturday afternoon. Authorities say none of the injuries are critical. One of the trams was found derailed. This is ABC News.